Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. BYU getting set for a showdown as they welcome in South Florida. Joining us now, Kelly Quinlan, publisher, writer for Rivals and Yahoo Sports, covering South Florida. Kind enough to join us. Kelly, how you doing?
Hey, Kelly.
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Doing well. We're trying to wrap our brain around South Florida and who this team is. A lot of Cougar fans remember them from 19 and when BYU went down there and got the loss, but this is a team that's had some struggles, but against some pretty good teams. Just where is this team right now, and what can BYU fans expect out of this team?
Sort of a young team that's rebuilding in a lot of places. They have a true freshman playing quarterback in Timmy McClain. They have a lot of transfers from other places, and really other than the offensive line, most of the team's still kind of on the younger side, on the offensive side. And then defensively, they're a little bit older, but it's not a great defense, and they've struggled this year playing NC State and Florida in the first two games, who are pretty prolific offensively. So, yeah, it's been kind of a tough sled so far for the Bulls, and they showed some sign of life in the Florida game week two, and then last week they beat a FCS team, Florida A&M. So, you know, they're starting to get in the right direction, but it's been sort of a total rebuild for Jeff Scott, the head coach there.
So now they're having to come into Provo and take on a very good BYU team. What are your expectations for this team's ability to travel and come play halfway across the United States?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. The game's at like 10-something o'clock at night for South Florida guys who are in the East Coast, Eastern time zone. You know, they played really poorly at NC State. The last two games have been at home, played better. You know, that's where it gets really interesting with a true freshman quarterback, right? He's, you know, barely, I think he might be 17, Timmy. And how does he respond to that environment? Like, it's going to be hostile. It's going to be colder than what they're used to being in Tampa. Just a little bit of a different environment. I think, you know, having been to TL Stadium before and seen the environment there, it's such a different thing than what most of the kids see out here on the East Coast. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how this team plays and if they can score. I mean, really, they've struggled on offense. They're 109th, I think, in the country in passing. They've run the ball okay at times. And then defensively, they've sort of been terrible. They're, I think, 125 out of 130 this year in total defense. Had a lot of injuries on both sides of the ball already. They're down maybe their number one wide receiver. They're down one of their top corners. Got a couple other guys banged up. They've had injuries on the defensive line. So, to me, I think it's going to be interesting to see how this team plays and what BYU looks like, too, as a team that's kind of, you know, trying to play for that wild card playoff spot right now that has some like big intentions. They have to kind of come out and dominate a team like this because they have played NC State and Florida, who are teams that might be ranked at the end of the year. It's sort of a measuring stick that people will look at as well.
So you mentioned it. They're giving up 262 yards per game on the ground. Is that just lack of talent? Is it inexperience? You mentioned some injury issues they may be dealing with. What do you attribute that to?
A lot of it's just poor tackling, bad angles. You know, they got really torched by NC State in the first game with their two-headed running back attack. They have two guys that are probably NFL running backs, and they torched them the whole game. And that sort of set the tone. And then Florida ran the ball pretty well on them as well. So, you know, I think that stat might be a little messed up and may come back down to earth a little bit. But, yeah, they're not a great defensive team. And the offense has struggled to possess the ball. And that's sort of, you know, it's one of those two-headed things, right? Like, if you can't move the ball on offense, you're just keeping your defense on the game, on the field the whole time. And that wears them out, and then you're able to run on them. And I think it's been a little bit of that as well. So I think, you know, they need to sustain some drives, take some pressure off their defense a little bit, give them a break. And then you are in a little bit better situation, and maybe you're not giving up the 200-something yards rushing a game.
Wanted to talk a little bit about some of the protection for the quarterback, giving up just over a sack and a half a game, and they're really limited in passing yards. Talk about this passing game. How tight has the pocket been? How much pressure has been given up for South Florida?
they've been among the worst in the country in terms of quarterback protection. You know, the guys have done a nice job of getting the ball out of there and scrambling and trying to get yards. That's what Timmy McClain does really well. He moves around, sort of a Mike Vick type character with a big arm, but just real young. But yeah, the offensive line's probably been the biggest disappointment on the team, I think, this year. It's, you know, basically all seniors, and they just haven't played very well. And it's kind of hard to explain. And they clearly don't have a lot of belief in the guys behind them, because even in like the FAMU game last week where they're up big, they didn't really sub out towards the end of the game when they were, you know, in control. They kept the kind of main 5-6 guys in there in the rotation, and that was it. So clearly there's still issues with the offensive line. I think it's, you know, an area that's going to get exposed against a team with a bigger defensive line, and that's what they've struggled with all year, is keeping that pocket clean enough to make plays downfield, and then the receivers also needing to step up and bail out the quarterback a little bit at times. And those things just haven't been there. There hasn't been a ton of chemistry on that side of the ball.
Not too long ago, this team was 10-2 and played Texas Tech in a bowl game, and things are riding high. And then, of course, things have certainly dipped since then. Talk about when the recruiting base, obviously everybody wants to go to Florida and everybody wants to recruit in Florida. So obviously there's a bunch of athletes there that they can recruit to. But what's the ceiling on this team if this coaching staff, which is in its second year, can do what they, you know, can perform the way that – a lot of people hope they can. How good can South Florida be on a year-in and year-out basis?
You know, really the run they made with Willie Taggart and then Charlie Strong was on the back of Quentin Flowers, who was like kind of a once-in-a-generation quarterback. And then they had some really good skill guys like Marlon Mack, who plays in the NFL now, and D'Ernest Johnson. And at running back, that kind of three-headed monster was sort of what – and they were bad on defense then, and you know, looking at what they're doing now, I think Jeff Scott had to kind of get a reality check. He took the job. He wanted to build it, you know, as a guy from Clemson, he wanted to build it as a organic from the ground up recruiting thing. And he realized pretty early on that it was hard to beat Florida and Florida State and everyone else that comes down into Florida from a big P5 school, whether Big Ten schools, ACC, whatever. It was hard to beat them, a lot of kids. So they've pivoted a little bit into taking a lot of transfers, and you kind of look at some of their key guys this year, Matthew Hill at safeties from Auburn, you know, Jaron Magum, the running backs from Colorado. These guys kind of getting guys from all over, a lot of them coming kind of back to the Tampa area as well. And I think they have now this kind of hybrid philosophy, and I think it will work. They just have to get more pieces in place. Charlie Strong kind of left them in a bad situation, and then they took over in the COVID year, and that, you know, Jeff Scott took over and basically couldn't go on the road. So they built no relationships in the area with the new staff. It was all basically whatever they had existing. And, you know, the first time they've been out on the road was, you know, recently. So it's been kind of tough sledding for him out of the box. But I think it's a program with a ton of potential, right? They play in an NFL stadium. They have access to all this talent. They just have to refill the cupboard. And that's sort of what he's in the process of doing. They have a lot of young talent on their team. They just have to start to, you know, mature them. And they've done a nice job picking up transfers who have multiple years left as well, not just taking a grad transfer route. So I think he's looking at a long-term build. It's just going to take them probably 3-4 years to be fully competitive in the conference and be back as a factor in the American.
So what are you expecting tomorrow night?
I mean, this seems like kind of a 45-21 kind of game to me. Like, I think South Florida just doesn't have the horses to punch like that against BYU. I think they're going to get overmatched a little bit on lines of scrimmage. I think there's going to be issues on defense stopping them. And you know, I just don't feel like the team's ready to win a shootout kind of game. I think they're better playing teams that are not quite as good offensively. And, you know, obviously the defensive numbers have been pretty atrocious too, and they haven't shown really an ability to throw the ball consistently. So when you have those two issues, I think it's just hard to predict a close game. So, you know, that's sort of where I lean. I think it's going to be, you know, 40s and then maybe three scores for USF kind of game.
What's the mood around there after the news that Central Florida is going to make the jump to the Big 12? Does South Florida feel like they've got a shot at if there's a next round of expansion, or they trying to make the AAC the best conference they can? What does the future hold for this organization?
You know, it's sort of interesting. There's a lot of different minds on it. I'm of the opinion that I think that basically the Big 12 is going to be the last throes of the Big East now, with this kind of weird hybrid conference that's not glued together very well. And the TV deal is going to be up, and they're not going to get what the Big 12 is making now in the next round. They're going to get something between what the American and the Big 12 are making, probably like $14 million or something. It's going to take a huge step back for all of those programs financially. So, you know, on the USF side of things, I think they just kind of have to stay the course and see what happens with this. I'm sort of the mind that it's going to be a P4 situation, not a P5 after the next sort of round of whatever goes down. And, you know, South Florida picked a bad time to be bad, right? Like,
yeah.
Central Florida got good, and they didn't, and took a step backwards, and, you know, kind of lost out a lot on that. And, you know, they have no one to blame but themselves looking in the mirror. You know, the fans stopped showing up when they were winning and not in the Big East, but their fans were upset that they weren't in the Big East, so they didn't show up as much for games. Like, all of that stuff's on USF. So I think there's just a lot of anger in the fan base with, you know, why did we do this to ourselves and not put ourselves in a position to be a good choice for the Big 12. But at the end of the day, it's sort of like, I don't know that any of these teams are really going to benefit from making this move to the Big 12 in a huge way. I think it's just sort of a half step up.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the game, and look forward to catching up with you again here soon.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Thanks.
Kelly Quinlan, writer, publisher for Rivals, as well as Yahoo Sports, covering South Florida as BYU welcomes in the Bulls coming up mañana.